Okay, I'm Western Carolina University Masters of Entrepreneurship student Bill Miller here with that company president and CEO Ken Knorr on September 26, 2011 for an entrepreneurship interview, which we're doing on the phone and recording digitally. Mr. Knorr, please know that my goals are to learn some about entrepreneurship, some about you as an entrepreneur, and some things that may be helpful to aspiring entrepreneurs. But you can skip any questions that you aren't comfortable answering. Does that sound good to you, sir?
Sure.
All right, great. Mr. Knorr, your company, that company, ranks number 183 on the 2011 Inc. 500's list of America's fastest growing private companies. Would you please describe what that company does and does so well?
Sure. That company really is kind of broken into three major divisions. And the first division is what we call our pay-per-click management division. And it was really kind of one of the earlier focuses of our organization when we started. Pay-per-click management, which is also referred to as PPC management, is the when you do a search in Google, you will see sponsored results across the top and down the right-hand side of the screen. Those sponsored results are advertising campaigns, obviously, that companies are running. When those ads, Google doesn't charge anything for the ads to actually appear there. Google only charges when somebody clicks on that ad and then ultimately visits the website, so that's why it's called pay-per-click.
Right.
A lot of people think I'm saying pay-per-clip, you know, you hold paper together, but it's actually pay-per-click.
Right.
We manage those advertising campaigns for clients all over the globe. Basically, our smallest client there might spend a couple of $1,000s a month advertising in Google or Yahoo and Bing, etc. Our largest spends $27,000 a day.
Wow.
To give you an idea of the range. In addition to that, the ones that are sponsored results there are also websites that you may visit that you'll see banner advertisements on, and those banner advertisements are also part of what we manage for clients again. So we have, like I said, clients around the globe. We manage those campaigns, those advertising campaigns for the clients. This is the second part of our business is what's called search engine optimization, or SEO. And search engine optimization really is the tactics and techniques that you use to that you apply to help a client's website rank higher in the organic results. So when we do a search again in Google or in Bing or Yahoo, the results that come up in the main body of results are what we call organic results or natural results. And based on a number of different factors, we can help clients improve their rankings, ultimately with the goal of moving into the number one spot, you know, when people do a search for their product or service. So that is another major division of our organization is focused on that. The third division of our company is more of the traditional side, where we provide traditional marketing such as radio advertising, print advertising, and magazines, and newspapers, the like, television commercials, those kinds of things, more of a traditional ad agency. And then the fourth portion, we're currently broken into three, but we are kind of emerging a fourth division of our company, which is really focused in on social media, and social media being Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and the campaigns that our clients want to run there to reach consumers or reach other businesses in those spaces as well. So if you were to, you know, simplify what we do down into a few words, it would be internet marketing and advertising agency. We could just be, you know, an advertising agency that does that, but I think that would not really kind of give the emphasis to the internet marketing that we're really involved in. So the internet marketing side is very strong. We were, you know, born kind of on the digital side and then added traditional on later, which is kind of backwards for most companies. They, you know, a lot of them have started the ad agency business and added digital later, but we went the other way. So that gives a pretty good overview of what we do. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. What do you think sets you guys apart from your competitors?
well, first of all, we actually do for our company, what we promise to do for our clients, which is we do search engine optimization. That's the first thing I should mention. We rank, our company ranks number one. When you do a search for pay-per-click management or PPC management, which a lot of people looking for those services do a search online to find them. We own a domain, ppcmanagement.com, and that comes up number one. When people are looking for search engine optimization, often they search for an SEO company, which is a wildly popular in our space. All of the SEO companies out there, my competitors, are looking to rank for that keyword. For the last year and a half, we've ranked either number one or number two for that keyword at any given time. We also rank number two in the world organically. These are all natural results I'm talking about.
Right.
We also rank number two in the world for the phrase advertising agency. I think we rank right now behind Wikipedia. So we're really the first advertising agency on the page. Those kinds of things right there, those high rankings, are what has set us apart in a lot of ways when people are looking for a digital agency, looking for an agency that's confident at doing it. Well, we prove our competency by ranking ourselves. I think the other thing that you get into that's a little bit different about us, that differentiates us from our competitors, besides the fact that we position well, is the fact that we are highly analytical. We believe that every advertising dollar that is spent needs to have a result, meaning that we can't just spend a client's advertising dollars simply because we think it's going to work. We actually must know that it's going to work and prove it. In today's economy, dollars are tight. Advertising needs to be exceptionally effective. So we are very, very strong in analytics. So strong, in fact, that we've developed products that I think are help us with that analyzation, especially on the digital side, that other companies aren't able to utilize. For instance, we have a product called CallTracks Plus. To explain in real simple terms what that product does is let's say you're running one of those pay-per-click advertising campaigns, and your product is a complex product. It's not a product that is that I can easily add to a cart at checkout. Let's say, for instance, I'm selling new homes, where I'm not going to buy a new house and add to my cart at checkout and proceed, you know, to purchase my house online.
Right.
The sale is probably going to happen offline. But what happens after I click on that ad for your new home community, and then instead of filling out a form, I decide to pick up the phone and call you? Well, suddenly the measurement is disconnected. I can't actually show that that you converted and turned into, you know, a lead. Our CallTracks Plus product allows us to dynamically display a phone number on your website based on the source or where you came from as a visitor. So if you came in from pay-per-click ad or from a banner on this website or from organic results over here, or even if you came to my website from a mailer that I sent out and an email that I sent out, and you came in through a link on that, I can then tie in that phone call response to your online visit so that I can tie down and show you which of your advertising campaigns is actually generating responses that you're looking for.
Okay, that's awfully impressive, but I won't ask exactly how you do that, because I'm sure that's highly technical and detailed and proprietary.
It is technical,
no doubt,
but the only other thing that I would add to it, too, is we have a really big push. It's just kind of a corporate culture towards customer service.
Okay.
A lot of clients that we have that tell us, you know, wow, you actually call us back. You actually, call us each week, give us, you know, what's going on. We don't make our clients call us. We schedule meetings with our clients to review their advertising campaign. And we believe that when you call our offices, you should always reach a live person. We don't send you even through a voice tree during business hours. So we have a real push towards strong customer service, too. I think that sets us apart.
All right, great. Here's an easy question. You guys are located you're headquartered in Leesburg, Florida. What do you like about your location, either specifically or about Leesburg in general?
Leesburg, it's conveniently located to Orlando, so as far as making, you know, I have to jump out and make some kind of a regional trip somewhere, it's not way out of the way. It's not right downtown in metro or, you know, right in the middle of a metropolitan area, so I think the other thing that Leesburg gives us is lifestyle. We have a laid-back community, it's a very nice community to live in. It's good for our employees. It's good for, obviously, the leaders within our company to be in a nice casual community, if you will. With it, it brings some struggles. The finding the right type of employees can always be a little bit difficult. But we found that even in Metro Orlando, the qualities of the employees or the qualifications that we're looking for are difficult to find. So we have to train our employees a lot anyway. And being in Leesburg, brings us a great workforce. I think there's a lot of they're really just nice people that are here, and it always helps to start out with nice people when you're talking about providing great customer service. It's helpful to have people from a nice community, if that makes any sense.
Yes, sir. All right. Can you give me a little bit of an overview of how you started that company?
Well, I was prior to starting that company. And excuse me, I'm snacking a little dinner interview here.
No problem.
When I started that company, prior to that company, I was vice president of operations for a large retirement community developer. We built 1,000 homes a year in 2005, 2006, and 2007. In 2007, obviously the new home and construction industry began to deteriorate dramatically. As vice president of operations, I was in the process of laying lots of people off. Well, I also got caught up in that and being released. So I was, in a position of go find another job or start something on my own. And quite candidly, no greater way to be inspired than to be fired. I would say to a lot of people today that are unemployed or looking for a job and can't find one, that there is no better time than to start a business that you have nothing to lose. So, it's the greatest time to jump off the cliff when there's not a lot to lose. It's different when you're obviously getting a paycheck every week and you're going to walk away from a paycheck to start your business. So, I started off primarily because I was unemployed. We took a chance and obviously put a lot of sports behind it and tried to be intelligent about the risks that we take, and it paid off very well.
Excellent.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir. That's a perspective I hadn't thought of before, but I appreciate that.
No problem.
Is this your first entrepreneurial endeavor?
No. Prior to working in that construction company that I worked for nearly a decade, I had several other businesses. One of which failed miserably, the second of which failed less miserably, but also had also ended up ultimately being closed. A couple other small ventures that I reached into along the way there, but none of them what I would classify as full time. But reached out to be an entrepreneurial and tried to start something. I've always been an entrepreneur. I think that one of the reasons that I can attribute to the success today that we're having is those failures in the past, because I was unafraid to try and unafraid to fail. If you're afraid of failure, it's hard to be an entrepreneur. So you can't be afraid of it not working. You have to believe that it's going to work or you would never do it.
Right. Okay, so what type of life experiences or education did you have that gave you the confidence to become an entrepreneur in the first place?
Repeat that for me again, would you?
What kind of life experiences and or education did you have that gave you the confidence to become an entrepreneur?
That's a tough question. Only in a sense that, as far as life experiences are concerned, I think that... that's a very in-depth question. First of all, generally speaking, I don't think that you have to have a formal education necessarily to become an entrepreneur. I think there are lots of people and some of the majors that dropped out of formal educations because they became an entrepreneur. Michael Dell of Dell Computers
right.
Did not finish college. Bill Gates did not finish college. Mark Zuckerberg, all three great examples of huge businesses. Zuckerberg's Facebook, probably going to be the first $1 trillion business, all of which look at, as an entrepreneur, didn't require the completion of a formal education. I think that having an idea and the inspiration to pursue that idea is paramount. On the other hand, I think that in my case anyway, that education in the sense that I was an entrepreneur, tried a number of different businesses, and then spent nearly a decade working inside of a company. I went to them and started as their manager of IT, the home building company I was talking about. Ultimately worked my way up to vice president of operations. The experience that I gained being at the inside of and at the helms of an organization that was a successful organization gave me a really strong understanding of what it took to operate a successful organization. I think that can be accomplished through formal education. I think formal education can give you a lot of the groundwork, if you will, towards that, but not a requirement. As far as life experiences go, there's a lot of ways to look at that, but I don't think it hurts to have some hard knocks, some setbacks along the way. It just makes you more, for the right entrepreneur, it makes you more determined to try harder, refuse to give up. All of those are qualities, I think, that a good entrepreneur needs. It's not about the fact that you got knocked down. It's the fact that you stood back up and did something about it. It was your reaction to that knockdown, not the fact that you were knocked down, that makes you a success.
Absolutely. How about, can you give me an example or two of a particular challenge that you faced in starting that company?
I think one typical challenge that everyone faces when starting a company is there's a number of them. But the first one I think that almost everyone faces is access to capital. It's the ability to, I'm going to start this, I've got a great idea, but I don't have a whole lot of money. At that point, if you're going to start something, the best place to start is friends and family, quite candidly. The beginning of that company, honestly, was from assistance from my mom. I talked to her. She had backed me before. And, in some of the early days, the earlier opportunities I did, I think she was a lot of trepidation about backing me again. But I think most small businesses get off the ground that way, acquiring through friends and family as to whether or not they can, assist them. So I think that's one of the tough things in starting any business, as a general answer.
Absolutely. I agree. So did you create a formal business plan before starting your business?
I did. And one of the reasons and one of the ways that we structured that investment from my mom was that she actually provided, just to give you an understanding, she provided a security, but I actually borrowed the money from a bank.
Okay.
But she secured that loan for me so that we could, have a cash security on the backside for the bank. The bank's got obviously collateral. That any bank that you're going to reach to get funding or financing, or any place that really wants to get financing, is no. Unless, of course, you're independently wealthy or you have a mom who's just going to write you a check, you're going to need to provide a business plan. And we did take the time to write the business plan and draw all that out. I'll tell you, though, that the best thing you can be as an entrepreneur is thick-skinned and also not thick-headed. If you're thick-headed, meaning that what you hope, you believe, and that it's unchangeable, it's written in stone, would be a bad decision for an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur needs to be right on his feet, willing to say, you know what, that initial business plan, that's just not working. And we did just that. After 6 months of looking at the direction we were headed in the original business plan, we revamped the whole thing and went in an entirely different direction, almost 180 degrees from where we were originally starting. But that lightness on the feet and the ability to admit, you know what, I'm wrong. On paper, I thought I was right, but when I got out here in the real world and started doing it, I was incorrect about the direction I was headed or the direction that would be best, and be willing to change. I think too many businesses that fail get stuck on following their business plan into the ground, into the point where it's not working, and they're unable to change.
excellent. That was actually, you answered my next two questions. I was going to ask if your business plan was static or adaptable, and obviously yours was adaptable. And then I was going to ask if you had to adapt your original vision of what you wanted your company to be, and obviously you did. So
there you go.
Fantastic. All right.
That was a triple. Would that just hit a triple?
Yes, that was excellent. All right. So with a 3-year sales growth of over 1,600%, where do you see that company headed?
Well, when we won the Inc. 500, or we were awarded the Inc. 500, I told several people around me the next goal is the Fortune 500. Fortune 500 has a $4.3 billion entry minimum now. So I'm going to give you a quote that I it's not mine. You can't attribute it to me other than maybe the first time you heard it is from me. Maybe you've heard it before, but excuse me. The quote is, I'd rather aim for the moon and miss than aim for nothing and hit.
Yes, Les Brown, I think, said that.
There you go.
Well, actually, I heard a variation
of that. Our goals, we have wild, hairy goals that are out there, and we're going to keep reaching for them. If we come in anywhere underneath that goal, our aggressive goals, then we're doing fantastic. Obviously, we have some more realistic goals in our business plan, but to answer the question, we'll double our company again. I do believe we'll double it again. The question is how fast we'll do that. If you'd asked me 5 years ago, would I be here today? I probably wouldn't have envisioned this and what we're doing and exactly how we're doing it and the revenues we're at. I don't think anybody with any logical sense put 1,600% growth onto their business plan. So for me to say that my business plan was accurate would be completely false. For me to lay out in front of you and say we're going to do that again, I think would be overly aggressive. But we're gonna do something. We're gonna continue to grow at a pretty rapid pace, I believe.
And I would imagine that innovation is a key to your growth.
Sure, customer attention is the biggest key to our growth.
Okay.
Now, in our case, we do a lot of things for customers, and our customers have to be growing too and making money too. And if they're not, they fire us. Our average contract with our customers allows any customer to leave us with a 30-day out. All you have to do is, be not getting the results for them, and they can terminate us. That puts a lot of pressure on us to do a good job. And when we're doing our job right for our customers, then we retain our clients, we keep our fees up, and new sales don't, have to make up for, lost clients, or they add on to the stack of growth.
Okay. Changing directions a little bit. I read that you have a mantra of leadership is action, not position. Will you share why you chose that, please?
Because leadership's a verb. It's not a noun.
Okay.
Leadership is not, it's not a position. It's not, you can be thrust into, you're the boss, but that doesn't make you a leader. A leader people follow. I think it's really important as a leader for you to be the first that takes action. I think there's a lot of people that have a lot of talk but don't actually do anything. And so leadership is an action. It's what you're doing and it's how you're leading. Whether you inspire the people that follow you or other leaders have different leadership types, leading by intimidation. It's not my particular style, but people do that. Regardless, great leaders are in motion. They're not just simply appointed as a position. I don't know if that helps you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes, yes. All right, how about, what is a typical work day like for you currently?
What's a typical work day for me like currently? My typical work day today is a lot different than my typical work day in the first year, let me put it that way. I think that transitions and changes in the early on, your typical work day is, it never ends, only when you actually go to sleep and then you wake up again and you're back at work. Because it consumes, an entrepreneur is consumed, I think, a lot by what he does. So there's many times that, at the middle of the night I am up on my computer and looking at numbers and that kind of thing. Today, a little bit less so. I get up 6 o'clock or so in the morning, take my daughter to school. The head of the office, I'm usually there by 8:30, we start off, depending on the day, I have different strategic meetings, so I get those done in the morning where I meet with my leadership team, go over the things that you know, our goals and what we're trying to accomplish. And usually I'm wrapping out these days probably 6 o'clock before I call it a day. Earlier, like I said, I'll still go home tonight and look at, you know, things that are related to my business and what we're doing and write some emails. It never really ends.
Right. Okay. So what skills in particular do you think entrepreneurs need to possess in order to be successful?
I mentioned a couple already. As far as skills that entrepreneurs need to possess to be successful, I think the first is almost a sense of fearlessness. It's not complete fearlessness, because you have to have a little fear to temper in, you know, that you're not going out there and acting wildly and irresponsibly. But you can't have fear that overwhelms you to the point that you're unwilling to move or unwilling to take, you know, some steps for it helps to be able to conquer that. I think other things that it a relentless kind of attitude, because I do think that a skill that you need is this perseverance, I guess is probably a better word. Because there are going to be times, I think, in an entrepreneur's life anyway, that they're going to fail, and they got to be willing to step up and do it again. I think a great example of that is Walt Disney. I mean, he had a lot of failures before he started, you know, hitting success. Other thing is that I need to be somewhat analytical. I think it's very helpful to be analytical. I mean, yes, there are entrepreneurs out there that are artists and they're you know, creative types. But I think that when you're trying to be as successful as an entrepreneur, one of the big parts and one of the big things you need to be able to do is measure. Everything that you do and all the statistics that are going on in your business, you need to be able to measure it. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. If you don't know what your cost per lead is, you know, your cost per sale, what does it cost you to generate that? Then, you know, if you're selling goods, manufacturing goods, retail, whatever you're doing, you have to be able to analyze what's happening in your numbers, and I think it's important that you have an analytical mind. I think those are some of the primary skills that you require as an entrepreneur.
All right, and if you could identify one particular trait or item that would be most important for an entrepreneur to possess, what might that be?
Out of that list, I think the perseverance is probably the most important, because I think there are probably a lot of great entrepreneurs. There are people out there that possess a fearlessness. I think that there are people out there that possess that analytical skill that you need. But because of a lack of perseverance, they get easily dissuaded. Their first attempt at something doesn't turn out the way they want to, and we never see that entrepreneur blossom. They never, you know, take the second shot at it and take the second stab at something else and go, you know, and launch to where they need to where they need to go. I think that there are some entrepreneurs out there, obviously, that hit the ball out of the park on the first swing, but I think the majority of entrepreneurs do not. The majority of entrepreneurs are guys that have tried several times and finally found the one that really works for them. Yeah. And so perseverance, I'd say, is probably the most important one.
Excellent. Thank you. But you give me a ton of wonderful information. Is there anything that you'd like to add for aspiring entrepreneurs?
There are tons of them. There are tons of little pieces of information I would give to an aspiring entrepreneur. The first and foremost, I'm gonna steal from somebody else or steal some quotes from some people. But the first one is Nike's quote: "Just do it." You're not gonna become an entrepreneur unless you just do it. And the first step. The next one is actually a quote from Nickelback, which is an inspirational song to me. It's called "Today Was Your Last Day," and it talks about in the very first verse, the first stride is the longest one. The first step is the toughest one. You got to take the step. If you don't take the step, you're not going to become an entrepreneur. So the two things that, you know, I leave you with this as far as inspirational things, just got to do it. You know, you got to make up your mind, and you got to quit hesitating, and you got to leap. So there it is.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate your insights.
You're absolutely welcome. And So you're, can I interview you now?
Sure.
Ask you a couple questions. All right. So you are currently taking a class. Tell me about your classwork. What are you studying? What are you working towards?
I'm working towards a master's degree in entrepreneurship. Western Carolina University is in Cullowhee, North Carolina, but I'm doing it online. What I wanted to do is I've got a bit of an entrepreneurial endeavor myself with a bowling business. I helped a gentleman co-invent a bowling device for wheelchair users, and we formed a business to try to make that available to as many people as possible. And I was hoping that this schooling endeavor would help our business endeavor, but also one of my goals is to teach in the future. I'd like to teach at the collegiate level, and in order to do that, you have to have at least 15 credit hours in a particular area. And I considered getting an MBA with a minor in entrepreneurship. However, that wouldn't give me enough credit hours, so I needed an actual master's in entrepreneurship. And there's not a lot of degree programs out there, but this one is highly accredited and highly regarded, and it felt like a perfect opportunity for me. So,
fantastic. So you're obviously exploring your entrepreneurial inspirations to you know, bring this product out there. How's that going?
It's going okay. We've been in business for a while. I've actually, reading about your website, stuff like that, I've considered the possibility of approaching you guys for what you might do to expand our business. But obviously,
we'd be glad to give you some advice.
Okay. Well,
we run a mentor program, which is in break right now, but for small business owners in Lake County that we have, or you know, in our region. That wouldn't necessarily be big enough yet to afford our services, but we, you know, teach them internet marketing and all the steps that are important towards the basics of tracking all that information, how to look and analyze all the data from analytics, and how to run your own campaigns pay per click, and how to, you know, work on the SEO stuff on do it yourself type level. So if you're interested in that, we can definitely set you up to give you some education on that level.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely.
Oh, excuse me. All right, but then the second part is you aspire to be an instructor. I think that's totally awesome. By the way, one of my steps in between my own business and whatnot is I spent a year as an instructor for the University of Phoenix. Which is mostly online, but they have some in-person classes and campuses here in Central Florida. And I actually was teaching the Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer curriculum on how to manage, you know, servers and things like that. I have to tell you, teaching is an amazingly wonderful and rewarding career. So.
Well, I want to try to multiply my efforts. I mean, I know what this company, I mean, what this country needs is entrepreneurship in general. That's what's going to turn this economy around, and it's not what people are doing in Washington so much. It's what the private people who are starting businesses are doing, so.
That's absolutely right. I'm currently in the process of authoring a book called You Can Do That, How to Start and Build an Inc. 500 Company in Any Economy. And that is exactly what the basis of the book is. Our way out of this economic problem is for more small business entrepreneurial people to be inspired and actually take that leap of faith without doing it. The solution to our economic problems and our job problems are exactly as you just described. People creating on their own. And America's been incredibly innovative in the past, and we have created our own economy has been created from our own work, and it's time to do that again. It's time for more small businesses to start. It employs the greatest number of people, small businesses, over anything else.
Right.
And the way out is if, you know, one guy can put 30 guys to work. Well, think about what happens if I get 10,000 of them to put 30 guys to work.
Absolutely. That's the answer, and that's what I'm working towards. So
exactly. All right. Well, hey, it was great talking to you. Would you be willing to, by any chance, share your recording with me? It was
absolutely
a great interview and a lot of great questions. I'd love to get a copy for my for posterity.
Sure, I'll send you the MP3 files.